It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestone.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse and nutritional counselor, and it's a great day to slow down, right? And I want to thank all of our listeners today. You know, we are so thankful for all of the people that listen to our show because we are really passionate about what we do. We know that we have many brave souls out there who want to know the truth about food, and that seems silly that we even would have to have that discussion. But you know, what is the truth about food and what should we be eating and what is best to be avoided? This can be a very touchy subject. And we know the corn growers want us to believe that high fructose corn syrup is good for us in moderation. Well, we're here to give you the facts today. And with me today is my friend and colleague, Cara Carper. Cara, we go back a long ways. Cara has been, she has a master's degree in holistic health. She's a nutritional counselor. She sees clients at St. Paul and our Wayzata office. She's driving all the way to Stillwater to help a company out with their nutritional needs. You teach a ton of classes.
I do.
Welcome to the show, Cara.
Thanks a lot, Wendy. It's great to be here. One of the reasons I really love being on the show and teaching all these classes is that it makes such an impact on people's lives. And, you know, there's so many areas of our lives that we don't have any control over. But one thing we always have control over is what we're putting in our mouths.
And like I said before, you know, Cara, we go back a long ways. And, you know, when you said that statement, it just has stuck in my mind. I tell every class that because, you know, when we were doing our teacher training, you stood there and said, you know, this is why I do this, because you can make an impact by what you put in your mouth. And we have control over that. Sometimes it doesn't seem so when we might have cravings or something, but we truly do have control over what we put in our mouth. And we are here today to let you know that what you put in your mouth can either be the solution or the problem. And we want it to be the solution.
You always hear us say that we're a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition. Some of you might be wondering, what does that actually mean? Well, what it means is that we look at food differently than most people. At Nutritional Weight and Wellness, we know that food, it's our most powerful medicine. So we use food to treat many chronic conditions that a lot of other practitioners have given up on, some of these conditions. In many cases, we see all symptoms disappear, and that's because we're looking at the underlying cause of the disease, and we're treating the cause, right, Wendy? We're treating the inflammation usually.
Right, exactly. We're treating the underlying cause of the disease. And one of my favorite quotes from Dr. Mark Hyman is, you know, if you're sitting on a tack, it takes a lot of ibuprofen or aspirin to make the pain go away. Why not just remove the tack? And that's what we do at Nutritional Weight and Wellness is we track down symptoms, we remove the tack, we remove the causes of inflammation. And over again, Cara, and this is why you and I are doing this. We work very hard, but we see that these results are often amazing. You know, I mean, I've been working with DAR in the medical community and seeing nurse practitioners chart medical miracle in patients' charts by simply giving people nutrition. So these results are amazing. Today, we are going to be looking at a much talked about and much influential micronutrient. It's a micronutrient that affects every cell of our body. And that nutrient is vitamin D. Most people know, we heard this in health class way back in fifth or sixth grade, or maybe it was seventh or eighth grade, but that the deficiency of vitamin D is known to cause rickets. Well, what's rickets? You know, it's soft, thin, brittle, misshapen bones. And I can still remember those pictures in our health book of these little kids with these bowed legs, and they looked very unhealthy.
And do you remember, I mean, remember before milk was fortified, which happened in the 1930s, rickets was a major public health problem in the United States. So milk is now fortified with 400 international units of vitamin D per quart, and rickets is now fairly uncommon.
In the United States.
In the United States.
Exactly. Well, we may not be seeing rickets as we did 100 years ago, but is actually starting to show up again, and that's pretty scary. We now have children being diagnosed with rickets, even at our local hospitals. So, and then when we look at vitamin D, and we look at all the tons of research, some of it's new, but some of it's very old also, we find that vitamin D affects many of our current health conditions, including osteoporosis, breast, prostate, colon and skin cancers, diabetes, heart disease, arthritis, infertility, PMS, and the list goes on.
There are more things as well, things like fatigue, depression, seasonal affective disorder, many autoimmune disorders as well, like multiple sclerosis, Sjogren's syndrome, rheumatoid arthritis, thyroiditis, Crohn's disease. Those have all been linked to low vitamin D levels.
And it affects our immune system?
It does. Even the simple cold, a virus, are affected by low vitamin D. Also, high blood pressure, fibromyalgia, obesity, and even syndrome X.
So I think the question we need to ask here is, what doesn't vitamin D affect, right? So what is vitamin D, and why are we so deficient?
Vitamin D, it's a fat-soluble vitamin. It actually has properties of being both a vitamin and a hormone. And we need vitamin D for absorption and utilization of really important minerals like calcium and phosphorus. It's necessary for growth, especially the normal growth and development of bones and teeth for children. But it also protects against muscle weakness. It's involved in the regulation of heartbeat. It affects 37 organs. And like you said earlier, it's used by every cell of our bodies.
Wow, it's incredible.
It's amazing.
And yeah, exactly. And it is found in such foods as fortified milk. We can get it in cod liver oil, and I know everybody loves
Yum.
To take cod liver oil, right? Fatty saltwater fish, such as mackerel, and we can get it in butter. We can get it in halibut. We can get it in liver, dandelion greens, and egg yolks. But we need to eat, how much liver do we need to eat, Cara?
15 pounds.
Okay, so we're going to all sign up for 15 pounds of liver every week.
Or what about 50 eggs?
Or 50 eggs. That's how much food we would need to eat to get enough vitamin D. And these are forms that, there are different forms of vitamin D. These are forms that we get through our food, and our body then needs to convert this to a usable form. It's converted by our liver and our kidneys so that we can actually utilize it by our bodies.
The most natural and what we call active form of vitamin D is vitamin D3. And that's actually made in our skin when we're exposed to ultraviolet rays from the sun. So if to get enough vitamin D, we would need to be in the sun every day with very few clothes on for a half an hour between the hours of 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. So you can imagine in the wintertime that production of vitamin D is nearly non-existent in Minnesota.
Yeah, I haven't seen too many people in sub-zero weather running around, you know, without any. And if we even could get out there, I'm sure we couldn't stay there for 30 minutes, right?
Right.
So, yeah, lack of sunshine greatly affects our ability to manufacture vitamin D. And our northern latitude here does not help any of us get enough vitamin D, nor does the help of the fear of skin cancer. You know, so when people do get out there, even in the summer, they're putting on lots of sunscreen, and we're not able then to produce our vitamin D3.
We know also a lot of people do not eat fish, liver, eggs, or dandelion greens. So how do we know if we're deficient in vitamin D?
Well, one of the first signs of vitamin D deficiency is chronic pain. Now, when people get aches and pains, I'm sure they don't naturally think, wow, I must be deficient in vitamin D. I mean, that's just not something we normally are going to think about, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I often tell people in our classes is that you really pay attention to these things. Pay attention to these things, because many of us are like this frog. You know, we're spending a lot of time back in our little health and science class back in middle school. But one of the experiments that we did in science is we took a frog, you know, because our teacher told us that, you know, if you put a frog in cold water and you heat that water up slowly, that frog will stay in the water until it boils to death and dies. If you put a frog in hot water, it jumps out immediately. So this is kind of what most of us are dealing with. Now, we didn't kill, I just want everybody to know, we didn't kill the frog. We let it out before it boiled, but it was a little bit warm by the time we took it out. But we're like that frog being slowly heated up in that warm water. You know, if we had acute pain, we'd be to the doctor right away with our appendicitis or our slip disc or whatever. But when these things occur over time, happening slowly, you know, these are the conditions that we call chronic.
Things happen gradually, and you don't even notice, you know, one day you're in severe pain, but it didn't happen overnight.
Exactly, exactly. So the first sign of deficiency is chronic pain. And we know that the Mayo Clinic actually did a study on people with back pain. Now, everybody knows somebody with back pain. And they found that 96%, that's pretty profound, 96% of these people with chronic back pain were extremely deficient in vitamin D. Cara, it's time to take a break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and we are talking about the role that vitamin D has in preventing disease. In the wintertime, production of vitamin D is near non-existent here in Minnesota and other northern states. If you have questions today, please give us a call at 651-641-1071. And we want to make sure everyone stays tuned today, because we are going to show you later on in the show how we can balance the United States budget and reduce our national debt. We'll be right back.
Well, I heard you crying loud.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cara Carper, nutrition educator and counselor, and I'm here today with Wendy Cates Dancer, registered nurse and nutrition counselor. We're discussing the role that vitamin D plays in your health. And there are 38,000 published articles in peer-reviewed literature on the benefits of vitamin D.
38,000?
38,000.
And that's published research articles. 38,000. So instead of getting out there and reading 38,000 research articles, or also you could go to the internet and punch in Google, and up comes
13 million citations
okay.
on vitamin D.
Well, we'll just send people out to read all of that, right? That is a ton of information. So you have to wonder, you know, why isn't this wonderful supplement on the news? Why aren't we talking about this? Why don't people know about that? You know, especially with all the people that suffer from seasonal affective disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have questions today about seasonal affective disorder or chronic pain or any of these conditions, osteoporosis, we'd love to talk to you today. Give us a call at 651-641-1071. But the one thing, we have a little treasure, don't we, Cara, to share with people today? Because
yeah.
someone has read all of these 38,000 articles and most of the hits on Google and spent years doing all this research for us, haven't they?
Right. And, you know, it's none of us would sit down and sort through all of that information. So luckily, Paul Stitt did that for us. Paul's been on our show a couple of times, and he has this wonderful little book. It's not that little. It's 128 pages, but it's called Vitamin D. Is it the fountain of youth?
But it is little when we look at the fact.
Well, when we look at, it's better than going through 38,000 studies.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is a great book, and we just love it. It's called Vitamin D, as Cara said. Vitamin D, is it the fountain of youth? And this was written by Paul Stitt. We actually have this book at our office. So if you want a copy, go over to 308 South Cleveland Avenue. Or give us give our office a call at 651-699-3438. And it's just astounding. And like Carr said, it's 128 pages. And you can probably read it in a week, or depending on how much you read, you know, maybe two, three, four evenings. And it could change your life. But when we look at these number of articles, and again, I remember because I was on the show with Paul last year, and we talked about, you know, why don't people know about this research? A lot of this research goes back to the 1930s and the 1940s. And vitamin D has a huge impact on our immunity. And again, why didn't people know about that? And I remember what he said on the show is that what happened is at that same time when they were just having all these breakthroughs in looking at vitamin D and other natural supplements, what happened was we had the invention of antibiotics. And all that research stopped. But it's starting up again, isn't it, Carl? But when we look at the number of scientific articles published just on bone density alone, almost 900, 899, vitamin D and muscle strength, 499 research articles published. Here's one on diabetes. Now, we have never heard about vitamin D affecting diabetes, especially type 1 diabetes. 229, again, research articles on that. Chronic pain, 149. And there's one on heart disease, 495 scientific articles published. Research, data that fully supports what's written in this book and what we're saying today. So isn't that amazing? And we need to know about this. This is one of the truths that we want all of you to know about today. So because it's fall and we're heading into winter, let's just spend a few minutes talking about seasonal affective disorder.
Let's talk about this. And this is something that I go through every year. And I think a lot of you can relate to that, maybe around August or certainly in September when the days start getting shorter. And some of us will be getting home from work and it will be dark out soon.
Or getting up.
Getting up
to go
and
to work.
Right.
And
we are not seeing the light of day. And that can really affect people's moods. And it certainly affects mine. And somewhere around the end of August, I just got depressed out of nowhere, just for no particular reason. And then I realized I was not getting outside as much. I would get home from work and it was dark. So every winter, I increase my supplementation of vitamin D up to 2,000 international units a day. And it really, really helps.
Yes, it does. I mean, I remember sitting with you, Carr, at the coffee shop. And you said to us, you guys, I mean, this is already, I'm already feeling this. I think it was like right around the end of August or something like that. And you were already aware that mm-hmm. you were being affected. And it's so amazing. I mean, you know, as a nurse, I've seen this for many years. People really, really suffer with this seasonal affective disorder and struggle with finding, you know, I mean, they order these lights. Many of them end up on antidepressants and they just feel not so good. So we actually have a couple of callers. Let's take a call here. We have, is it Kirsten on line two?
It's Kirsten.
Kirsten. Okay, yeah. Kirsten. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. And you had a question for us, Kirsten?
I did. I was in a car accident. It'll be 3 years in November ago. And I still suffer with issues with my neck. It's almost like a permanent injury because I've done all the physical therapy and the chiropractic. And there's just, I don't think, at least as far as they can see, it's not going to get better. But the thing I struggle with is I get so much pain in my head, like a headache and neck pain, if I don't continually work out like four times a week. That's the only thing that seems to keep it at bay.
Yes.
But if I get sick or life gets in the way, which it does with three kids, it flares up so fast, and I've had two migraines in the last year that I can only contribute to that because I've never, ever had them before, or, you know, it just seems like that only happens when I'm not able to be in the exercise routine. So I'm just wondering, is there some way to keep that at bay without, you know, without going back to square one every time I miss a week of exercise?
Yeah, well, Kirsten, that's an absolutely great question. And, you know, in Paul Stitt's book, there's also been a lot of research done, not only with this slow chronic pain that builds up, but people that have actually had injuries just like yourself. And
Okay. And
you can actually supplement with vitamin D, and you can really go back and heal that injury and build up your immune system. But it helps us on so many levels because it helps make serotonin and several of our other neurotransmitters, dopamine, norepinephrine, that help us with this pain. So I would really suggest that you start supplementing with vitamin D.
D as in boy, right?
No, I'm sorry.
D as in dog. Okay.
Or David.
And that will help my seasonal affective disorder, you said, too?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, I would really recommend going and getting the book.
Okay.
You know, going to your doctor and having you, we can actually have these vitamin D levels drawn. But the unfortunate thing, and Cara, I'm going to let you say that because that was your part. So.
Well, this happened to me, and also I had a client yesterday who went in and got her vitamin D levels tested, and the results came back as one word, normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I want to emphasize is that normal is between 20 and 80 with lab work, but we want to be in optimal health, and that means being above 50. So it's really important to actually get that number from your doctor.
Yeah, and I don't know where they come up with these normal numbers, but, you know, 20 is just not enough to help us out. So make sure when you get that level drawn, Kirsten, is that instead of just accepting normal, ask exactly what that value is, and you want it to be well above, at 50 or above. And I think that's going to help you out a great deal.
Okay, when you say supplement, what is there a certain type that works better than others, or a certain, you were saying, I didn't understand the measurement she was saying. I hadn't heard that one before.
Oh, international units?
Yes, right.
Yeah. Yep, and, you know, once you get your levels tested, you can determine, you probably are going to need between 1 and 5,000 international units per day.
Okay.
Yep,
and is
exactly.
that a common measurement that you see when you're at, say, the, you know, pharmaceutical store or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Well, most supplements are anywhere from 400 to 1,000. You can, like, if you go to our office or something, get the higher doses.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But,
well, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. And thank you a lot for calling. You have a good day now. Okay. It is time to take another break. And vitamin D deficiency is actually an epidemic. A study from the University of Wisconsin Osteoporosis Research Center found that 63% of women being treated for osteoporosis are still very severely deficient in vitamin D. These women, no matter what medication they're on, need to be supplemented with vitamin D. If you have any questions, call us at 651-641-1071. And when we come back, we're going to show you how we can balance the United States budget and reduce our national debt. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cara Carper, and I'm here with Wendy Cates Dancer. We're answering your questions about how the lack of vitamin D can affect your health. And I'm going to read something directly from Paul Stitt's book because this is so important.
And we promised people before we went on break that we were going to let them know how we can balance the United States budget and decrease our national debt. So here we go.
This is an example of how one vitamin could reduce costs. By fortifying more foods with adequate levels of vitamin D and taking it as a dietary supplement, it's estimated that the nation could cut its medical bill by nearly 30%, saving $510 billion per year.
Now, that's almost as much as Congress just spent this last week, right? $510 billion per year.
The cost of providing the vitamin would be less than 50 cents per person per day, and that's 50 billion. That's less than a tenth of the costs that we pay now for medical care. So if you add what could be saved in Medicare, Medicaid, and by insurance companies and out-of-pocket expenses, it could bring the annual total savings to $460 billion.
And I think we need that today, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
This could actually help lead us towards balancing the budget and help reduce our national debt. And we haven't even then looked at the cost of falls and osteoporosis and nursing homes. I mean, I'm sure that would help us a great deal. But we have a lot of callers on the line here. So let's take, I think we have Therese on line one. Therese, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you. Hi. I just wanted to get your take on something. I have osteoporosis, and then I was just recently diagnosed with a spot of squamous cell on my face.
Yes.
And when the dermatologist, I said, so how do I balance this? You know, I need sun, and yet you shouldn't be getting a lot of sun or whatever. And the dermatologist's take on that was, you can get vitamin D through your diet, so slather on the sunscreen, which makes sense to me. But is there anything more I can do for the skin issue that I'm now dealing with? I mean, it's going to be treated with cream, so that's fine. But from health-wise or whatever, what I would eat, is there anything that would...
Well, absolutely. It's really hard, Therese, though, to get vitamin D enough from your food. It really is. You need to eat, like we said before, 15 pounds of liver, 50 eggs, dandelion greens, fish. I mean, we can certainly get it in some cod liver oil. I would recommend with what you have going on, and vitamin D also helps us with our immune system and cancer, several types of cancer. I would recommend actually supplementing with vitamin D3. It's a very inexpensive supplement. And you want to take, you know, between, you know, like 1,000 to 5,000 IUs a day.
Okay.
It's really hard to get through your in your food. And most people don't eat liver and dandelion greens and things like that. But it's a very, like I said, inexpensive and easy supplement. And then the other thing we recommend is actually going to your doctor. Maybe your dermatologist would even draw your vitamin D level and show you where you're at with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your call. And we have several other callers on the line. We'll take Jenny. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, Jenny.
Thank you.
Did you have a question for us?
Yeah, it's kind of a two-parter. I wondered if you could give me some advice in about what to look for when I want to buy a vitamin D supplement, a D3 supplement. And should I take it with food or with, you know, my calcium supplement or at another time?
Yeah, that's a great question. Cara, do you want to answer that or do you want me to answer that?
Sure, I can answer that. Jenny, just like you said, you want to look for vitamin D3. That's the most absorbable kind of vitamin D.
Okay.
And when you get your blood drawn, you know, you want your levels to be 50 or higher. Depending on, you know, if you're very deficient, you may need 5,000 international units a day. If your levels are just a little bit low, maybe 2,000 international units a day.
Okay. Well, I've seen different supplements for vitamin D in pill form, and then I heard somewhere that you should do it in, like, an oil and that it should be combined with something else to help it absorb. Or, you know, what do you recommend as far as, you know, the actual pill or capsule or whatever that you take?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And first of all, we want to make sure that you are getting your supplement from a company that what they say is on the label is actually in the bottle. And so when we look at supplements, Jenny, we want to make sure that there's USP on the label. And no, that's not right.
GMP.
I'm sorry. Gosh, where am I? There's GMP on the label, and that stands for Good Manufacturing Practices. And that basically means that that company is monitored by an outside agency that tests about every 10th or 12th bottle to make sure that what they say is in there is actually in there.
Okay.
And then it depends on what's going on. People that are very sick, because, you know, vitamin D is metabolized through our liver. You know, if people are really sick, then you're going to want to take one of those absorbable forms that you were talking about. One, you know, there's some drops and things that you can just put under your tongue.
Okay.
Otherwise, you should be fine with just taking a capsule and then, you know, take it with food.
All right. Thank you very much.
So, yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you for calling, and you have a great day. So we have a couple of other callers here. Holly, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I was calling about I have a daughter and a son who both have always struggled with depression and anxiety.
Uh-huh.
And this is just like such a timely topic. A couple weeks ago, I read an article in the Star Tribune about vitamin D and its importance, and saw that depression fell under that heading as well.
Yep.
And seems like both of my kids operate kind of high. Their cups are usually pretty full, if you know what I mean. And it doesn't take a huge life event to kind of spill over. And this summer, my daughter kind of spilled over from a bad experience she had had, and really was so depressed and so anxious, and actually had a panic attack, and, you know, lots of things had happened. And so we sought out some help from her doctor, and they put her on some antidepressants, and also went to some counseling. And she had a follow-up appointment with her doctor this week, and I had been reading about vitamin D and asked her doctor to test her vitamin D level,
right,
which she did kind of because I had asked her to, but thought, probably not going to be abnormal because she's 22 years old. And, you know, well, the level came back 20.2.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And they said, well, normal was 35 to 100, and advised her to take 1,000, is it international units, I guess, of vitamin D.
That's right.
And I have a sister who has a doctor who's really big on vitamin D and said minimum should be 2,000.
We agree with that.
Good. With a level 20.2, should she, what would you recommend that she take for the vitamin D? And then also, is there possibly a hereditary component to it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, it's like mothers that are deficient in vitamin D. Holly, could you hold on, because this is very an interesting conversation that discusses a lot of her points, but we're getting signaled to take a break now.
Okay.
So could you please hold on the line, and we'll come back to you. I'm going to put you on hold here. It's time for us to take a break. Having sufficient levels of vitamin D helps the brain make serotonin, an important neurotransmitter that contributes to good moods. A deficiency of vitamin D can cause negative emotions like depression. Are you in a better mood on a sunny day? Call us with your questions at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back.
Wasn't long till I called you mine. Yeah, yeah. Since you've been gone.
And now you'd ever. Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Are you interested in spending a morning or evening learning about good nutrition for better health for you and your family? We have several two-hour classes offered throughout the Twin Cities, including a class in Burnsville next Saturday, a week from today, called Foods to Build Happy, Focused Kids. It's going to be in Burnsville, and it will be taught by Christina. So please see our website for details on this class, as well as many other classes to fit your needs, www.weightandwellness.com, or you can call our office at 651-699-3438.
Great. Thanks, Cara. Let's get into some of those classes. I know we also have some on osteoporosis and bone health and that. Now, before we went on break, we left Holly on the line, and I want to bring her back because we were having a wonderful discussion. Holly, are you there?
I am.
And we were having a discussion about your two children that have depression, right?
Right.
And can you just kind of briefly recap that for us? I know your daughter went to the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and had her vitamin D level checked.
Yep.
Yep, 20.2.
Which is low.
Yeah, and I wanted to add, too, that she does spend time outside, too.
Yes. Does she use sunscreen?
Probably not, even though, you know, of course, we've been programmed to tell them to put their sunscreen on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so probably not.
Okay. But,
And then my son as well, it's just kind of a family temperament thing, we've thought.
Yep.
But, you know, it really makes me wonder that there's so much out there that we don't know, and is this a component of that?
Right, and I think we were kind of getting into the conversation about, is this a hereditary issue?
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it can be when we have mothers now that, now our ancestors got a ton of vitamin D. Most of them worked outside. You know, most of them were farmers and, you know, laborers, and they worked outside. Now we have people in offices, you know, in high schools. You know, some of those high schools barely even have a window,
right.
You know, these schools. Kids sitting at computers. So we now have, you know, we have mothers that don't have enough vitamin D, and the children aren't getting enough vitamin D. So in that respect, it can very much be hereditary, because our kids are pretty much born with the nutrients that we have to give them. So, by all means, let's get her some vitamin D. How much is she taking now?
This just happened this week that we got that level back. So she's been taking 2,000. Do you think that's not adequate with that level, or what would you think?
Well, the thing, Holly, about vitamin D is it takes us quite a while when our levels have dropped that low to really build it up.
Okay.
And it takes about 3, maybe even to 6 months to build it back up to what we would call a therapeutic level. And we would definitely want her to be above 50. So 2,000, I think, is adequate. I would probably bump that up to like 4,000 for 3 months before she gets that built up, and then maybe then she could back off to the 2,000. But I would double that.
So 4,000 units for 3 months, and being it's a fat soluble vitamin,
right?
Is what level do you get to that you know?
Oh my gosh! But if you read Paul Stitt's book, you know, people that were taking incredible amounts. It's real, even though it's a fat soluble vitamin, and this is what we hear from the FDA and the scare that it's fat soluble, but we are so deficient. And he said that even this person that overdosed trying to kill herself, only ended up with, an upset stomach.
No.
So we don't really have to worry about that.
Okay.
Okay. That's great. Well, thank you so much for calling, and you have a nice weekend. So it's already time for another break. Scientific studies have shown that adequate vitamin D and improving lifestyle can cut falls and fractures by 49%, heart disease by 25%, diabetes by 25%, arthritis by 40%, and cancer by 30%. We'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Now that our days are getting shorter, maybe this is the time for you to think about supplementing with vitamin D if you have any of the health issues we've discussed today. It's a simple and inexpensive solution that has worked for me and many others.
And we know that over 25 million adults in the United States have or are at risk for developing osteoporosis. Osteoporosis results in weak and fragile bones, greatly increasing the risk of bone fractures, pain, and disability.
And it's one of the top reasons for our elderly to be placed in nursing homes.
And remember, when we're working on that national budget, we want to decrease that cost. Vitamin D, though, not only strengthens bones, but it strengthens the muscles that support them, preventing falls. And I think this is an incredibly important thing when we look at our fragile elderly out there losing their balance, and fearing that they might fall. So we want to thank everybody for listening today, and we want everybody to remember that food can either be the problem or
it can be the solution.
And
we want it to be the solution.
Thank you so much for listening today. Have a great week.